37 men are named in the Old Testament. Men of renown, men that were famous, men who were styled as the mighty men of David. They were mighty because these individuals were warriors for the cause of Israel. And on many occasions, these individuals, sometimes single-handedly, defeated their foes and brought victory to the nation of Israel. We read about them in 2 Samuel 23, 8 through 30. As you read through those passages, there are several words or a group of words that begin to stand out at you. One of the words that you find therein is the word slay. Here were individuals who stood before their enemies and literally slew them. Another phrase that is found within that chapter is, the Lord wrought victory in Israel. Mighty men of God standing before their enemies and slaying them, and the Lord bringing victory unto Israel. My friends, you and I are soldiers in the Lord's army. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. It is imperative that each one of us become not just soldiers, average, ordinary soldiers, but it is imperative for us to become mighty men in the army of God. You and I need to be able to stand even single-handedly before the enemy and slay them. And if so, the Lord will bring victory to spiritual Israel. We have been in a series of lessons entitled, Needed, More Battles Won. And we have been talking about many of the battle fronts that you and I are engaged in every day of our lives. And as we face those battles, as we do battle with the enemy, we need to be victorious. We need to be overcomers. We need to bring victory to spiritual Israel. This morning, we want to continue that study. When Aaron asked me, Vic, what are you going to be preaching on? I said, we're going to just continue the series. And I've got 2 points that I'm going to talk about. I got 1 point that we're going to talk about. Because this next battle, my friends, is not just a battle. It is a major campaign that you and I are engaged in every day of our lives. What is the battle about which we speak? It is the battle of... Are you ready? Self. Self. Every day, you and I are facing a battle against our own selves, are we not? Amen. Self. You ever tried to define that? That is a tough word to define. It's tougher to define than loneliness. I looked up Webster's definition of self, and he says that this is the definition. The entirety of the person of the individual. Now there you go. Take that home. What does that mean? Well, fortunately, he continues in his definition. And he says that our self is the complete union of elements such as body, personality, mentality, sensations, emotions, and other aspects that make me what? Make me an individual and also enable you to identify exactly who Victor Eskew is. So that when you hear certain things about a certain individual, you'll say, aha, I know exactly who you're talking about. And you may not even have to name that person because of his self-attributes. My friends, we're talking about the totality of who we are. Do you not have to do battle with that individual every day of your life? And it is a huge battlefront. When I looked up that definition of self, I just kept reading through Webster's dictionary. And then I got to counting how many elements there are connected to one's self. I don't even know if I counted right, because I was counting with a pen going down through there. And I counted 197 different areas that involve the self. Isn't that amazing? You don't think that we have a battle on our hands? 197 areas that you and I need to be concerned about? That's just what Webster says. My friends, the Bible is concerned about self. The Bible understands that self can be a tremendous battle that we wage every day. And it talks about many areas wherein we fight the battle. In this outline, I've only talked about three of them. What are some of the battles that we face with ourself? How about this one? Self-conceit. Self-conceit. We begin to think of ourselves pretty highly, don't we? We begin to brag and we begin to boast and we begin to think that other individuals and organizations cannot do without me because I'm so great. Paul wrote in Romans 12:3, "For this I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you." I like that phrase there, folks. That's interesting, isn't it? To every man that is among you. Why would he include everybody? Because it must apply to everybody. To every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God hath given to every man the measure of faith. Now, is it okay for me to think highly of myself? I hope so. I hope you have a good self-esteem. I hope you understand that you're made in the image of God, that you've been made just a little bit lower than the angels, that you've been endowed with tremendous talents from God Almighty. We need to understand those things. But I better not think more highly of myself than I ought to think. God rebukes us, and he tells us, think soberly about who you really are. And understand that it is God who has put you where you are and in the position that you are with what you have at this present time. You see, we have to deal with self-conceit sometimes, don't we? Another area that the Bible talks about is this: self-reliance, self-independence. What do we mean by that? I mean, we all think that we need to be self-reliant, don't we? We all think that we need to be self-independent. But what are we talking about? We're talking about it from a biblical standpoint. Here's what we mean. An individual who believes he can take care of himself regardless. He needs no assistance from others, and especially not from God. Ever read of anybody like that in the Bible? Oh, there's several examples about which we could speak. The Bible says in Luke chapter 12, verse 16, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he said to himself, What shall I do? For I have nowhere to bestow all my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger barns, greater barns. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods." Now watch this. He starts talking to himself because he doesn't have anybody else to talk to. And he said unto his soul, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." For there is a self-reliant, self-consumed individual, is he not? Look what I've got. I can provide for myself. And look how long it's going to last me. And I don't have to do anything but just live in the lap of luxury. Self-absorbed, self-reliant individual. Amazing, isn't it? Here's another problem that self can have. You ready for this one? Self-deceit. My friends, it is possible
for you and me to develop lies within ourselves and believe that those lies are the truth. That's scary, isn't it? Develop a lie that I develop the lie and I believe the lie, but it's really not the truth at all. Take heed unto yourselves that ye be not deceived in your hearts. Deuteronomy 11 verse 16. And the Lord said, deceive not yourselves. Jeremiah 37 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and extremely wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17, verse 9. Isn't that amazing? To think that I can lie to myself and believe that lie and think it's the truth when in actuality it is a falsehood. Folks, you can believe yourself to be a faithful, dedicated Christian going to heaven, and it could be the biggest lie that could be imagined. Do you know that? I can believe that a certain doctrine to which I hold is absolutely the truth, and it can be just as false as it can possibly be. I can believe that a behavior in which I am engaged is acceptable. It's fine. God looks down upon it pleasingly, and yet I can deceive myself in that. Self-deception. We could talk about a lot of other kinds of self things, couldn't we, from the Bible? Self-deprecation. That is looking upon yourself more lowly than you really ought to. We have some of that go on in the church today. Oh, I can never be a teacher. Don't deprecate yourself that way. Yes, you can. Smarten up. Learn some things. You can be a teacher. You see, we just put ourselves down, act as if we cannot do it. It's not so. We could talk about self-righteousness, could we not? Oh, I'm so good, God's got to save me. And I'm glad that I'm not like other men. Or, oh, that sounds like somebody from the Bible, doesn't it? Self-serving, could we be that way? I believe that Judas was a self-serving individual, don't you? The only individual he was concerned about was, guess who? Judas and his pocketbook. Even if that meant turning the Lord over to the authorities, I'll just serve myself and get myself a little bit richer. Be okay. He'll make it out of it. He always has. You see, there's a lot of areas involved in this thing called self, isn't it? And we could go on for months talking about self and all of these different areas. But the question is this: how do we overcome? How do we become victorious over self? I'm going to give you some ways to do that. Now, here's one thing that you've got to understand, though. Whatever area that you are being impacted is the area wherein you have to do some focusing. Okay? And I can't talk about 197 things this morning. Just can't do that. Don't have time. Even if I put it in seconds, we'd be here forever. So what I'm about to tell you is some general things that will help you to conquer and help you to bring self to a proper place. Number one, we must crucify the old man of sin. At our conversion, that old man of sin must die, my friends. For you see, the old man of sin lives solely and completely for himself. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. That the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. That old man's got to die. I've got to put him in the ground. I've got to bury him where he can never get up again. That's hard to do, isn't it? All those lusts and desires and wants and wishes and ambitions and goals. Put him down? Oh yes, crucify him.
So that's step one.
Folks, listen to me. It is not enough just to crucify the old man. The second step is you must put on a new man. You've got to become somebody else. You've got to be different. You cannot be that person anymore. So what am I going to be? I've got to take on a brand new personality.
Now here's where it gets hard. The only way to do that is through the renewing of your mind. You want to know why people appear to be the same 20 years after their conversion? Because there has been no renewal of the mind. They are the same. Their thinking processes are no different whatsoever. And that old man of sin begins to creep in, does he not?
When you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20, Paul makes it very clear to the Ephesians what needed to be done.
Seeing that ye have put off the old man, the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt by the deceitful lust. Now listen to what he says. And renewing the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which is created after God in righteousness and holiness. I got to be different, folks.
Doesn't it blow your mind to watch Christians and they're the same after conversion as they were before conversion? Just the same, almost. The only difference is they come to church on Sunday. That's about it. Other than that, they talk the same. Their lives are the same. They act the same. Personality is the same. Emotions are the same. And most of the time, they're still just as sinful as they can be. No change. My friends, you and I have got to get in that book, and we've got to warp our old personality. We've got to change it. And we've got to put on the new man if we are going to overcome self. Point number three.
You and I must follow the example of Jesus Christ. We've got to do that.
In Romans 5 verse 2, the Bible says, "So then, let every one of us please his neighbor unto his good for edification."
Are you kidding me?
You want me to please my neighbor for his good
unto edification? Yep, that's what I want you to do.
You want me to put my neighbor's interest above mine? Yep, that's what I want you to do. You want me to look out for him before I look out for me? Yep, that's what I want you to do.
That don't sound good, does it?
But look at the next verse.
For even Christ pleased not himself. For as it is written, the reproaches of him that reproached thee fell on me.
Folks, when Jesus came to this earth, he did not please himself. He was not looking out for number one. He was not concerned about what's going to happen to him. He was concerned about everybody else, was he not?
And thank God for that. For without that kind of an attitude, you and I would have never been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus.
You can't go around pleasing yourself, because that's self still living through us. We've got to look for the needs, the wants, the desires of other individuals and make those individuals a priority, if at all possible.
So I've got to follow the example of Jesus Christ in my life. Number four, I must practice self-denial. I must practice self-denial. And he said unto them,
if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Luke 9:23.
Self-denial.
We live in a rich society, don't we? And folks, I tell you what, I'm glad I live in the United States of America. I don't know about you. I hadn't been to very many places in our world.
Been to Guyana, South America. Just recently got back from Mexico. And I'll tell you what, I want to live here. Talk to some folks from Canada. Talk to some folks from London. And guess what? I want to live here. But here's one of our problems. We don't deny ourselves of much. Do we? I don't know too many people who literally deny themselves of very many things. Give you a couple of challenges. You don't have to do this. Okay, I'm not saying that it's commanded, demanded of you. I'm just saying, see how good you are with some self-denial. Don't eat tomorrow. Just tell yourself, tomorrow I don't eat. I'm fasting 24 hours. You don't want to know about the only time we do that? When the doctor tells us to, because we got surgery the next day. Is that right? Or we're just sick as a dog and food just, we don't want any. Just don't eat for a day. Now I understand what it means to deny self. Now, for some, you might be easy. Now here's another one that might be a killer. Turn off the television for a week. Now that one, just give me the day of fasting. Right? That'd be a toughie right there. Okay? One of the things I love after I eat my noon meal, I love something sweet. Just love it. Doesn't have to be big. 2 EL fudge cookies and I'm set to go. But deny me that. Ah! And I want something sweet the rest of the night. Folks, pick out something and just deny yourself, because we are not a society that does that, are we? Practice self-denial. That way, when it comes time to do it for real, for something that is spiritual in nature, then guess what? I already know what it feels like. Deny yourself a ball game and come to the gospel meeting. Oh, man. Now you get a little personal, Vic. Yep. That's exactly what we're talking about, folks. You and I have got to learn to deny self, don't we? Now watch number 5. Make certain that you understand that every day I am reliant upon God Almighty. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. James 1 verse 15. My friend, I can't even move unless God enable me to so do. I've got to understand that I am fully, completely, totally reliant upon my God in this world. You see, that keeps me from boasting myself. That keeps me humble, does it not? Now, very closely tied to that one is this one. You keep in mind every day the things that level humanity. And there's a bunch of them. You know that? The things that level humanity. What are you talking about, Vic? Levelers. Every human being is a created being. That's a leveler, because we're all created. Number 2. Every individual has at least one talent, and many have more than that. Now, friends, we have no right to talk down to anybody. We have no right to look at another human being and think we're better than he is just because our talents differ. You know that? And I'm appreciative of a man who can do whatever he can, and he is doing it to the utmost of his ability in whatever profession he is doing it in, as long as it is not illegal, immoral, and against Scripture. Excel! And that man is great. And the only thing he may be doing is picking up trash. You know that? But he does it well. And if he didn't, I don't know that I'd want to do it. You know that? There's lowly positions, aren't there? But that doesn't make those people any different than I am. Everybody has a talent. Number three, every individual is a sinner before God Almighty. Every one of us has some kind of a flaw. I didn't say sin there, I said a flaw. Stay around me long enough and you'll find something you can't stand. Golly, Bill. Didn't know he had that. Married folks learn that lesson right after the I do. Right? He was perfect till the I do. And what he meant by that is I do have flaws. And you find all those things out, don't you? Guess what? Every human being has struggles, guys. Every person has struggles. Some worse than others, but we all struggle through this life. Here's another one that I love. Every man must practice the mundane things of life. At some point, every human being on the face of the earth takes a bath. You know that? At some point, every human being sits down and has to eat something. You got to feed your face. Right? You got to put on your breeches. You got to sleep. You've got to do the mundane things of life. And I don't care whether you're a king or whether you're a peasant. You do those things. We've all heard that statement, right? He puts his breeches on just like I do. And that's true. You see, we all have to do the mundane things. That proves that we're what? We're just human beings. That's all we are. Different positions, different categories, different levels in society, yes. But just human beings. We're all going to die. And we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of God Almighty. Folks, those are levelers. Listen to Proverbs 22, verse 2. The poor and the rich meet together, and the Lord is the maker of them all. What's he talking about? He's talking about the leveling of humanity, isn't he? Here's the poor, here's the rich. They meet together, they are level, they are equal. Why? One reason is because the Lord is the maker of them all. What do these levelers help me do? They help me not to lift myself up above anybody else. I'm just one human being among billions, aren't I? That's all I am. The last way to overcome this self problem, you make dead certain that you learn how to function in the role of a servant. Servanthood's lowly, isn't it? Servanthood's humbling. Servanthood's demanding. And many times, servanthood is a thankless task, isn't it? Nobody comes to a servant and says, oh, I thank you for your good service. Because that's what you ought to do, you see. Isn't that the role that Jesus played on this earth, servant? For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Mark 10, verse 45. Even Jesus occupied the position of a servant. And folks, servants aren't above anybody. You know that? And whosoever of you will be chief, let him be servant of all. Matthew 10, 44. And you, brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Galatians 5, 13. Now you take those seven things and you start making application of those in your life. You won't have nearly as much problem, and I won't have as much problem with self. It's a pretty big battle, isn't it? Amen. I go to bed with it and I get up with it every day. Self. Right? Here's what I love. Paul fought the battle with self. Did you know that? And you can read about his fight in two or three places in the New Testament. One common place is 1 Corinthians 9:27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, I'm fighting the battle with self. I've got to keep under myself if I'm going to win. And guess what? He knew the secret of success, did he not? And he wrote about that in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now listen to this. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live how? By the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. My friend, if you want to overcome self, live by the faith. Amen. And when you do, Christ will live in you. That's what Galatians 2:20 teaches. And you will have crucified self when you do that. The battle of self. Next week, I've already got the lesson in my mind, almost prepared. Just got to write it out. You want to know what the battle we're going to talk about next week is? The battle of relationships between brothers and sisters in Christ. What a battle. Sometimes it's fierce in congregations. Be back. We'll talk about that one. Maybe you're not a child of God. You're still living for yourself. My friend, until you make up your mind that you want to die to self and live for Jesus, you'll have problems. And if you continue to live like that, you'll die lost. Won't you crucify yourself? That's repentance, isn't it? Having believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, step forward, confess His precious name, and bury that old man in the waters of baptism and arise to walk in newness of life. Romans 6, verse 4. Maybe you're an erring child of God. You face the battle with self, and most of the time you're not very victorious. You need to repent of that and ask God to forgive you. Won't you come as we stand and sing?